Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the Million Dollar Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, unexplained voices call out from the bathroom of a college campus. Also, we hear the story of a student who experiences a bunk bed mate that's not exactly of the living kind.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is! 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Reminder, Facebook group, it is out there. If you want to join it and conversate all week about the paranormal, just look it up, Real Ghost Stories Online group. And of course, I wanted to let you know, EPPs, you're now becoming aware of this. Extra feature there for you on the EPP website, ghostpodcast.com. Advanced episodes of the show. You get to listen to the show as we make it. As we make it, I post it pretty much the next day or as soon as I can get it encoded and loaded. You get those episodes weeks before they go public, in addition to, of course, all the EPP bonus episodes that we do every single week for you. But little added bonus there to make it worth your while for the $5 a month to keep the show on the air at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you today?
Good. I just had a thought.
Yeah, and your thought is?
I don't have thoughts often, but I had one. But you mentioned the Facebook group.
Yeah.
So I went to see this movie, The Little Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a British movie. And it's a creepy, haunted kind of movie. But it's one of those at the end. It's like, what? Like, was it a ghost? Was it not a ghost? I don't really know. So the whole way home, we're discussing, like, what about this and what about that? So if somebody has a theory and they've seen that, I would love to get a conversation going about that movie. Because you know how you leave a movie and you want to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really know what happened, but it's creepy. But it's creepy in that good way. Like, not that bloody. Like, it's just a creepy and more of a scary, like, what's going on way.
Sure. The Little Stranger, is that what it's called?
The Little Stranger, which I think is really kind of a stupid name for the movie. But it was good. I really did enjoy the movie. And it just came out. But I really did enjoy it. But I'm like, is it a ghost movie or is it a creepy guy movie? I don't know.
I've not even heard of it until you mentioned it today. Mm-hmm. I'm so out of the loop
of
movies. But I don't know. We'll you post it or somebody else can post it up there. And I'm sure that you'll get a lot of interesting feedback on that, especially where it's kind of like up in the air and nobody really knows the answer to it.
Yeah. And I love movies like that because it's like, I kind of like a bow at the end.
Sure.
But then I kind of like the ones like, what was that?
I like bizarre, creepy movies where it's like, what? I don't know why I love this, but I'm like, I can't stop watching. Do you remember? This is like a 20-year-old movie. And it really, if I remember right, I don't think there was a ton of paranormal to it. I think it was more crime type based. Bringing Out the Dead. It was a Nicolas Cage movie back before Nicolas Cage, just did any movie he could to make some money. When he was actually
like when he was a good actor,
when he was a star, yeah.
Or and, was he ever a good actor?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it was kind of like, oh, a new Nicolas Cage movie that's not straight to VHS. And you're like, it's VHS. It's 2018. What do you mean VHS? Yeah, he's put out a movie and it's only on VHS. Seriously? Holy shit. Like, I didn't know anybody did that. It's like vintage. But did you ever see that one? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I've never seen that one.
I think he was like a paramedic in it, but just the cinematography, it's very kind of grungy, kind of just weird. And it was around the era of like Fight Club and all that too, where there was just kind of these weird movies that were just bizarro going on, and that to me was always one that stood out and was like, huh, I kind of like that. Bone Collector was out around that time. I was like in high school, so this is mid-90s ish era, but an odd movie. I saw something the other day on Facebook because there's all those the memes or the video of 14 years ago today this movie came out, and I saw it was for Jeepers Creepers. And that was one that I saw, and you could not make me see that again ever for any amount of money. Not because it was scary. It was just the worst damn movie I think that's ever been made. I like horror movies, but it was just dumb. And I know it's almost like there's like a cult following of it. Like, people love that movie and I do not understand it for the life of me. It's not that it's scary. It's just, I thought the acting was horrible. I thought everything about it was horrible, but it still, to this day, all these years later, I mean, they made how many sequels of it too? Did you ever see that one?
No.
Don't wait. You'll never get that 2 hours of your life back.
You should see this one, The Little Stranger, because
I'd like to.
It is good. It's well written.
Yeah.
It's set in a creepy old house in England, and it's very good.
I will look into that one. I think that would be a fun one to see. It. I want to see the new It yet. I haven't seen that either. Have you seen the new It?
No, but I did see, like, so wasn't It the one that had the red balloons coming out of the drains?
Yes.
Okay, so here in Wichita, they had a lot of that going on. That was creepy to me. Like, seeing a red balloon coming out of a drain.
Yeah.
And I know people thought it was funny, but that part was really creepy.
People thought it was funny, I'm sure. But the thing is, there are so many bizarro shit stories of horror out of Wichita. From, like, you know, of just horrific murderers and crime, that it's like, that's not the town to be messing around with shit like that, you know?
Oh, God, no.
Where it's like,
I mean, we're the town of BTK.
Exactly. You got BTK. And there's so many others that I didn't even realize till I'd moved there what they were. The Carr Brothers story, that to me was utterly horrific. And it's one like, how did this not get more national press? I don't know.
You know, that one, I was actually doing a morning show here and when that happened. And that was horrific.
Yeah.
Like, and because the way that was happening that morning, it was kind of going down in real time. And I've never experienced anything like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It was, and I did not know about it. I was informed very quickly when I moved there from everybody of like, hey, did you hear about that story? You hear about this one? I'm like, what the hell? Like, yeah. I moved into a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, that's what that was like.
And there are plenty of
horrible.
Yeah, there's plenty of good things there too, but there's a dark, you know, and in every town with a certain population size of people, there's going to be bad shit that happens in every big city. But there just seemed to be an overabundance of really just like, oh, this is like movie of the week shit type horror story.
And it's weird because I live maybe as a bird flies a half a mile from the house where BTK killed that family.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. and it was for sale a while back, and they put these big, like they painted, like wrote on these big wooden boards, like, only serious people come in to look at the house. No gawkers are allowed in.
Yeah.
Like, they had these big signs out front that they had hand painted, which only makes people want to go in. Actually, I don't think everybody knows what house that is.
They put that sign
out, then they're going to do their research and figure it out.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if you're wondering which house it was, take a guess.
This one.
Yeah. They might as well just put like a big sign, like, not haunted. No murders happened here. Nobody died. Yeah. It's like, oh, God. I mean, and that stuff has to legally be disclosed as far as murders or death in the house. The house is still there, isn't it? Like, somebody lives in it now, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They live in it now. And it looks totally normal. Like, yeah. You would never know.
I couldn't do that, even with no paranormal activity. I mean, I don't want to live in a haunted house, and not that would be part of it. I would just, I could never, basically, I think, is this the one where in the basement was some of the hanging?
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't either.
I could never go do laundry, or, you know, or if that's what you're, it's like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to buy new clothes and burn the old ones.
I'm just going to, like, never wear the same thing twice.
Yeah, I could not do it. And, you know, I get some folks, it's not a big deal. And then there's also the fact some people are like, ooh, that's awesome. I want to live in the murder house. But, I could not do that.
But I do get why, if the house is for sale, that people would just go in it to look.
Like, sure.
That's a little weird to me.
It is. His house, though, was bulldozed and nothing's there anymore.
Yep, they took it down.
But none
I'm glad they did.
And the thing
I'm
is, what's
that was the right thing to do.
What's interesting about that, though, is the crimes never occurred there, other than he lived there. But
he lived there, yeah. But he also had this weird shed behind the house where he had a lot of kind of memento-y things.
Oh,
that he kept back there, and that's just creepy.
Sure,
and. You know, and his family, I've always felt so bad for them. Like, they didn't have a clue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they all moved. They all left immediately. And I hope that they were able to move on some. I don't know how you would.
I've seen some interviews with the son in the past couple of years. And, you know, those poor people of just trying to pick up your life. And, you know, it's like, what was this? What was my life all these years? Who was this person? You know, and I can't imagine how you deal with that. And that's got to be such a difficult thing. Anyway, we're a ghost show. But we're talking about true crime, which is fine because a lot of folks on ghost shows also like true crime. So I'm like, this is a good discussion. Let's keep it going. So anyway, let's jump over to a ghost story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. First letter says, hey, guys, I just wanted to say I love the podcast. Helps me get past the hour and 15-minute drive to college I have every morning. I've been listening for the last week, and I thought I better contribute something. I have two stories. I work in a long-term care home in a small town in Ontario, Canada. Part of this home is well over 100 years old. I haven't seen anything too scary. The house is two levels upstairs. It's all for the residents. Downstairs is staff room, offices, storage, very creepy store, kitchen and laundry. When I work the night shift, there's only two staff on, and if I have to run now, run down the stairs to grab anything, most of the lights are out, and there's a very uneasy feeling all around. Now, I'm not sure if it's because it's an old building or because my mother raised me on supernatural shows and scary movies, or if something is really there, but you feel like you're being watched. Odd time there is a shadow you see out of your eye. One time I was taking the garbage out, and it was 4:30 a.m., and I saw a dark shadow run past me. Scared the living crap out of me, and I ran back upstairs. In the kitchen, some of the girls can sometimes smell men's perfume. The other day, I went into one of the bathrooms, and there's two side by side. When I came out of the male's bathroom, the door was wide open. No one ever really uses that bathroom, and we all usually shut the doors after. I'm almost sure it was closed when I went into the bathroom. I never heard anyone in there. When I asked the other girls, no one said that they used it. That was in the daytime, so kind of creeped me out a little. I have one more story to share. It was my birthday weekend, and my best friend just bought a house. It was their first night in the house, and after we got them kind of settled in, we went drinking at a small town fair that was happening that weekend. When we got back after a few too many, my best friend and her boyfriend went there went to their room, and their two dogs and me and my other best friend were sharing the pullout bed. We're giggling away, talking about what if the house was haunted. It's the first night there, and if it was, it was going to get us first because we're in the open. It's a two-story house, and they haven't got anything in the upstairs yet because they want to do renovations first, so everyone is on the main level. After about 10 minutes of conversation about ghosts, we decided we better go to bed. Not even 5 minutes later, we hear a door creak open, start freaking out and screaming for our best friends to save us. Then I see this figure beginning to come out of the darkness. Turned out to be one of our guy friends who decided he better find somewhere to sleep other than driving. I don't think that I've ever been that scared ever before in my entire life. Hope to hear this on the air. I hope someone else gets a kick out of my last story. Thanks so much for all you guys do. Can't wait to hear the podcast. See, not everything is paranormal. Sometimes it's just a drunk friend.
There's probably more ghost stories that were really drunk friend stories.
Yeah.
When you think about it, or not even drunk friend stories, it's you were drunk story.
Mm-hmm. And everyone was drunk story, but like only one person remembers it. And then the next day they're like, did you get up in the middle of the night? Like, I don't remember anything after 8 p.m. It's like, so I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it was a ghost. Maybe it was me looking for nachos. I'm not quite sure. You just never know.
Oh, yeah, but we've all had those stories.
We have.
Who hasn't been looking for nachos when they're drunk, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's the best. I found the best thing the other day because if there's one food that, you know, I'm kind of a foodie, you know that. I did a food show before I did ghost shows, and it's kind of burned out on it. But as much of a foodie as I can be and be particular about things, I absolutely love nacho cheese. And I'm not talking about, like, melted cheddar. I'm talking about the neon glowing nacho cheese that comes
like
out of the
ballpark nacho.
Yeah, that you got to push the dispenser, and it's, yeah, I love that stuff. And the other day I found at the store individual nacho cheese cups that you can just pop in the microwave at any time, and then, oh, hey, it's instant nacho cheese, and I'll put it on everything. And it's funny because that's one of those things people look at me and go, well, You're kind of like a food type person, right? I'm like, yeah, but I love nacho cheese. It's the best thing in the world. I could bathe in that shit, and I'd be like a good day. You're like, ooh, look at that. And the spicier, the better. I like the spicy one. I don't like just the melted, the canned cheddar. I mean, this is not really truly a cheese product either. I think
it's not even cheese.
No,
it's all chemicals.
It's some sort of like it's a neon chemical product that somehow we think is cheese. But I love that stuff. Can you eat that? Do you eat nacho cheese? I know you eat cheese sometimes, but do you do the nacho cheese?
If I have to.
It's not like...
And by that, I mean, because I'm vegetarian, and so yeah. Sometimes you get into a situation where the food choices are really limited.
Yeah.
That's where I have to be. Limited food choices, okay, before I do that.
So it's a if I have to thing. It's not a joy for you like it is for me, where I'm like, yeah, ooh, I'll take the nacho cheese over that fresh piece of Parmesan over there because I love the nacho cheese.
No, there's no joy in it for me. But if I need some food and it's there, I would eat it.
It's like the cat food of cheese, you know? It's like you technically could eat this. You know, Fancy Feast, it's basically just chunks of chicken and gravy, but you probably don't want to. But for me, that's I love it. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to this letter. It says, hey guys, this is Jordan from West Virginia. I'm new to your show. I found you on Apple Podcasts. I've been listening to you every day at work for about a week. I'm not a great speaker. I get really nervous, so I thought I'd write in. I don't really know if I'm sensitive or not, so I'd like to hear what you think. I've had several experiences happen to me throughout my life, but this one sticks out in my mind. I went to college in Wheeling, West Virginia. West Liberty University. Well, anyways, my freshman year, I was in an all-girls dorm, and it was very old, like it didn't even have air conditioning. Well, that year, five girls attempted suicide, claiming they just felt this undeniable self-hate and pain. I didn't know these girls very well because it had been only 3 or 4 weeks into the school year, but what I did see of them was that they were not girls who ever had depression or ever showed any sign of what that type of behavior. We were talking to some of the older girls who had once lived in our dorm, and they all said the building always gave them bad vibes. One girl even told once that her covers were entirely pulled off of her in one hard yank, and something pulled her ankles. I was an RA and asked to be reassigned the year before. The girl said it was because once there was a girl that really did take her life in or around our campus, and another girl was kicked out for satanic rituals on one of the floors in our dorm, like involving witchcraft and some other dark stuff. I've always believed in ghosts, but I wasn't sure what I thought about it because I could not find any information on someone actually taking their lives in the area. I wouldn't say I did extensive research, but being in a small town, you'd think I'd be able to find something on the internet. A week or so goes by, and I'm lying in bed one night, and all of a sudden I wake up, not in a panic or anything, like I just felt uncomfortable, almost like someone was watching me. I rolled over, and I saw a girl wearing a gray hoodie, jeans, and dark brown hair standing in front of our television, and she looked like she was chewing on her sleeve. At first, I thought it was my roommate, which I thought was odd because we were in bunk beds. Where's my bell? Here's the bell. There we go. And I could usually feel her getting down from the top bunk, and I hadn't. So I rolled over to turn on my lamp, and as I'm turning, I say, "Hey, Meredith, what are you doing out of your bed? Are you okay?" When I turn back, the girl is gone, and I get up out of bed and I look up, and Meredith is sound asleep. The next night, one of our friends is in the bathroom brushing her teeth, and she goes to spit in the sink. When she comes back up, this same girl is standing in the corner, but my friend doesn't look directly at her. She's looking at her through the mirror. My friend panics because she would have heard someone come in the bathroom, and the door was really heavy, and it squeaked and scuffed against the wall when you opened it. So there's no way this girl got into the bathroom without her hearing it. She shut off the water, turned around, and the girl was gone. Thank you guys so much for your show. I think what you're doing is great, and I plan on becoming an EPP very soon, but money is a little tight here at the moment. Sorry if my story was long. Please tell your thoughts. Also, I plan on writing and possibly calling one of my other stories again. I agree. There's places that are just oppressive, and it doesn't always necessarily mean that someone died in them either, but there's some reason for those buildings having those feelings.
And why on college campuses do they put these kids who are right out of their homes off to school for the first time, and they put them in the creepiest old buildings on campus? You see that everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, where else? I mean, there's some dorms that aren't very creepy, but there's some that really are.
A lot of them are.
Yeah. I'm glad I never did that. I don't think I could have. I don't think I would have survived. Not like I would have died, but I'm not claustrophobic, but I'm claustrophobic in dorms. I remember visiting friends in dorms, and I was just like, how the hell are you doing this? Like, how? Some people are like, oh, it's great. It's a big party all the time. I don't know. Maybe it was me being an only child and never having to deal with other people, but I just couldn't do it.
And to have five people commit suicide, like,
yeah,
that should be shut down. There's something going on here.
There is. I mean, clearly, that's not an average. That's not a, oh, well, you know, this will happen on campus, you know, chances are once a year or so. But five in the same building? No, there's something. Yeah. Something impressive about that building.
And it makes you think, especially if you see someone like an apparition in a hoodie, makes you think it could be one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not old timey clothes.
No. And, you know, I would lean towards, because she said that there was, you know, and some of it could be rumor because you get urban legends that start flying around when you have stuff like that of why is this happening? But like the satanic rituals and things like that, that, you know, that can create some bad energy. That can create some really weird, you know, feelings there. I just did an interview last week about a place called the House of Wills. I believe it's in Cincinnati. I could be incorrect. And it's this old, it was a funeral home for many years. It had also been like a speakeasy and a medical facility and all sorts of stuff. But it's just the strangest architecture. You would love, look up House of Wills yourself, and you'll see some of these photos. It was this elaborate, beautiful funeral home. It just the craziest design. I say it almost was a mixture of Egyptian meets mid-century modern meets Roman. It's just the weirdest looking inside of a funeral home I've ever seen. Anyway, it's been abandoned for a while. The gentleman who owns it is actually the head of the new Church of Satan or something of that nature. And but he's been friendly with ghost investigators for a while, and they go in and they investigate. But he also uses it for his rituals and things of that nature. But a lot of the ghost investigators go in there and they say, yeah, this is too heavy of a place. And they're not saying that it's just necessarily demonic stuff that's in there. In fact, a lot of them say they don't think it is demonic, but they think there's just such bad energy, such bad spirits, if you will, that may have been living once, that this is kind of their hangout. And they just, it's that energy of depression, of hurt, of sadness that is just so heavy in that place. The owner loves it, but I get it. That's kind of his thing. But
he also is a guy who does rituals and creepy things.
Exactly. That's kind of his thing. But then the rest of the other folks that come in, it's like, yeah, it's just far too heavy. So I could see that having an influence on that building.
That's just creepy.
Yeah. 855-853-4802, our number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story. Hi.
Hello. I'm calling you from West Tennessee. I work at a car dealership. I'm 40 years old. This happened approximately about 6 years ago, so I was about 34. And my mom, she's always been more of a sensitive, and so is my older sister. So I've always grew up with ghost stories and, you know, really, really scary things that, you know, my grandparents would tell me. So the paranormal is not lost on me. I was at work, and we hired this I work at a car dealership. We hired this finance manager who was older. He had a drinking problem, lived a rough life. He was adopted, never knew his real family. And his adopted family that adopted him, the sister of him, was murdered. They did find the people. They did go to jail. But this guy was an alcoholic. He was older. He's 60 years old and a hardcore diabetic. So as you probably know, being diabetic and drinking don't really mix. So he went to a restaurant here local in town, had a few drinks, and eventually had a heart attack right there in the restaurant. And passed away soon after that. So we heard about it, and you know, we were sad about it, but you know, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that that would happen. So one Saturday morning, about 2 weeks later to the day, 2 weeks later, everybody but myself and the receptionist up at the front of the dealership was there. Just, they were all in a conference room. So just me and the receptionist were in front of the store. So all of a sudden, I hear a boom. And I look over, and there's glass partitions that separate the salespeople's desk. One of those bottom glass, plexiglass, not even glass, it's hardcore plastic, like almost shatterproof plastic, looked like somebody kicked it. And there was nobody around. No, there was no way any soul was around but me and the receptionist. So, absolutely nobody. They were in a sales meeting. Everybody was gone. Nobody was there. So, do you think that people who had lived harder lives or had more trauma in their lives are more acceptable to come back as possible ghosts, spirits, what have you? And do you think how violent their lives were but dictate how violent they are in the afterlife, or how strongly they can communicate to the real world? And just something to think about. I just want to know what your guys' take on that is. But I just want to say I think the podcast is great. I listen to it a whole lot. My mom turned me on to it. Always loved the paranormal, and I think it's what you guys do is great, so people can actually talk to somebody who believed them and just know that they're not crazy. So, but I think it's great. So if you would, just want to thank you for your time and listening to my story. Thanks so much.
I'll throw it over to you first. What's your reaction to that, Carol?
Hello. I don't know. I think that's something I've thought about before. Just why is it that, you know, there's someone you die who dies from work, and there's never any kind of feeling about them ever again, like as far as them being in touch with you. And then someone else, and then there is something like that weird thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I've wondered that myself before. I think that it's kind of, I think sometimes it has to do with unfinished business.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that man's case, it sounds like he probably had a lot of unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. I would think if you're more often than not, sometimes when we talk about ghosts, I think sometimes there's this preconceived notion that it's like they're almost totally different in death. And I think that that's the furthest from reality. I think if there's a haunting and the ghost is there and it was someone who was living, they're going to be the same person they were in life. If they were confused, if they had, they were restless, if there was issues, if there was this or that, you know, I think they're probably still going to struggle with that in death. Now, that's not to say that they might not be able to figure it out at some point or kind of get some resolution to some of the issues that they've struggled with in life. I think that sometimes that does happen on the other side, and then they're able to, whether it's moving on or whatnot, I don't know. I think sometimes people are, or the ghosts of the people are able to move on to whether it is a bright light place or it's, you know what, I really wasn't happy in this area my whole life. So guess what? I'm going to be a ghost now in Jamaica. And that's just kind of how they're handling it. And that's why they're not around us or in the same atmosphere that they've always been in. I think the more I hear stories, the more I understand or try to understand it all. It doesn't seem to always be the bright light thing. It seems that on the other side, it's still a lot of free will, a lot of choice of, well, where do you want to haunt? What do you, you know, where do you want to be? And if you still don't have the answers, you don't have the answers, and you still may be trying to struggle to find them.
I think that, well, and sometime we can do a whole hour on an experience I had with a guy I used to date
mm-hmm.
who came back.
Yes.
To contact me after he had passed. But I think that there's some times where there is some kind of message, and it's like, and I think in that case, and it's a really interesting story, but it's long, but I think that like he needed to get to me so I could get to his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a message for me to him.
I want it. You've told me that off the air, and I remember saying to you, you have to share that on the show sometime.
I know. We need to do that.
Yes.
It's a long story.
I know. We'll do, like, maybe we'll do it like for a Halloween special or something. That could be a neat one.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
He would have loved that. But I think that sometimes there is kind of a need to communicate. Like maybe you're sorry. Maybe you just need to share a message.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're just really unhappy. And you hated that job, and here, boom, I'm going to knock this thing down.
Exactly.
It is interesting that after that man passed, then that would happen.
It sounds like him. And I would assume, you know, sometimes, you know, in life, if you're an aggressive individual and if you're not being heard, because that's people who are aggressive tend to always feel they need to be heard. And if you're dead and they can't hear you just talk or get that out, then it ends up resorting to violence, usually of some sort, or something where it's like, look at me. And if that's the only way that they're able to express it is banging on the plexiglass, that's what they're going to do. And it's not that they necessarily, I think, mean harm. It's just more so this is how they're getting across. And if it's working, it's working. And if you're on that side, you're going to take whatever works.
And to me, it's kind of sad because it sounded like he had a really sad life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I don't know, that kind of stuff. It's like you hope that he could find peace. But how do you if you're... Life was so sad here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe there is something on the other side where you can kind of self-reflect and get a better grasp on things and kind of have that, like, that moment, that epiphany that sometimes, you know, the living will get in therapy. Maybe there's a version of that on the other side where it's like, oh, I see it from this way now.
Exactly.
And now but it sometimes takes that time, and it takes that individual wanting to be willing and say, look, I do want something better. I want something different. This has not been working out. And sometimes it takes to be on the other side to get there. We'll do one more call here before we wrap up the show for today. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's do this quick one. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I've been listening to your show for about a month now. And I have a ghost story for you guys. So back in September, we had to put our dog down, and it was really upsetting for our family. And after that, the house felt really empty without her. And after she passed, some weird things started to happen. She used to, whenever she wanted to get into my parents' room, she would scratch on their door until my dad would open it up for her. And she'd come in and jump on the bed or whatever. And after she passed, he could have sworn one time that he heard her scratching at his door. Another time, like, I kept thinking I would see her out of the corner of my eye sitting on our stairs. And she's a small dog. She was a cockapoo, so she's only about, like, 14 pounds. But I'd think that I would see her out of the corner of my eye sitting on her stairs watching me. And I told my girlfriend, and she thought I was crazy. But then on Christmas, she came to eat dinner with my family. She was in our dining room, and she swore that she saw something low to the ground, the same blonde color as my dog, walk right by her legs. And this past spring, one of my friends from college came over to my house to stay with us because he lives all the way in Florida. And at the dinner table, he was on the left side of the table. I was to his right. There was no one to his left, and he was wearing shorts. And he told me after dinner that he could have sworn he felt something furry brush up against his leg. I'm not sure if he was just saying it to mess with me because we just told him how we thought the house was haunted, or if there really is something, or if it was just me, like, trying to fill in pieces, my mind just playing tricks on me because it felt like she should have been there or not. But I haven't felt her presence in a while, and I'm wondering if there's anything that could help her pass on if she really is haunting my house. Thanks, guys. I love your podcast, and I definitely want to get an EPP soon. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, guys.
Thoughts?
Oh, yes. I agree with him.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I'm a pet person.
Yep. Sure.
But I had a cat years ago named Rita. And you know that a very distinctive sound when a cat's on your counter, because I always had to put, I had a table in my kitchen that was pretty high. So I put the cat food up there so the dogs don't get it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do that. But when a cat jumps down, it's a very distinctive sound.
Yeah.
And Rita, I'd lost her. I had to put her down. And I was in the kitchen. I'm a million miles away in my brain. And I heard her jump off of the table onto the floor. And I turned around. I'm like, Rita. And then it hit me. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't have a cat. Mm-hmm. But I totally heard that sound because I was thinking about one thing. But I think that when he said that he hadn't felt it for a while, you know, my guess is that the pet has moved on, but I could totally see a pet being around for a while. Absolutely.
Especially if that's their happy place. You know,
yeah.
if there's not another light to go to or something, if it's just, where do you want to be? The pet's probably going to want to be where they have been if it was a happy life. And mm-hmm. and that's where they're going to hang out. I think there's more pet stories half the time, I think, than humans that almost get overlooked. I didn't realize when I was a kid, I felt my cat after she had passed on my bed. I felt that jumping up and sitting on the
very
end of the bed.
That's a very distinctive feeling when your cat or dog jumps on your bed.
And I didn't even think anything ghostly of it. I thought it was just me thinking, you know, that I was whatever, that it was, I was just, you know, conditioned to think that was what I was feeling. Later in life, now as an adult doing the show, I'm like, holy shit, that was an experience. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many things. We had a dog named Lena for a little while, and she had so many health problems, and she couldn't control herself, basically. And she wasn't very old, but it was a breeder. And it, you know, when you do that, you end up with very bad immune systems in many cases.
Oh, yeah.
And she would get ill for anything. She couldn't be a dog. She couldn't go outside and play in the yard because she'd get sick from something constantly. And so she was always ill, and it got to the point where she had something, and we had to put her down because she was so sick. But right after that, we had to put her down. We heard her. And we didn't have any other pets at that moment in time. But we heard her walking around the house, you know, the sound of the claws on the floor. And it's like, where Jen like looks at me and like, I took her to the vet today to do that. I didn't like hide her in the garage or something. You know, it's like, I'm pretty sure she's not with us anymore. But my parents, when the cat that they had, Scruffles, passed earlier this year, or late last year, I think, you know, she was almost 20 years old. And that they had no other pets, no other cats. And she would do the whole hacking of the hairball thing. And that's another distinct pet sound. You know what that sound is. And cat's gone. And all of a sudden, they had a couple times at night where they were hearing the claws on the floor up in the kitchen, walking around. And then also that the hacking of the hairball. And I felt bad about that because I'm like, that really sucks. Even in death, you still get hairballs if you're a cat. Like, I would hope, like, if there's any benefits, like, maybe that's one of them, is you're not going to have the hairball issue anymore.
Of all things to hear, too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
It's like you're still dealing with that shit, even on the other side.
I just wanted to hear my cat purr.
Yeah. It's like the purring would be great, but no, you're over there hacking up a hairball. Yeah.
But I'm really sorry about him losing his pet, because that's a really hard thing to go through. I mean it just changes your home, and it's just so hard.
It is.
But I hope that his pet's moved on.
Yeah.
And I hope they're soon ready for another pet.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your experiences with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person, at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. Get access to all the advanced episodes as we make them, weeks before they go public. EPP bonus episodes that are only there for EPPs. New one every single week of that, and access to 200-some that are up there. And so many other extra benefits. Ghostpodcast.com. Keep this thing on the air if you like ghost stories, because we love doing it. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.